There's a lot happening going on in this, but let me set the groundwork for you just a little bit. The first three chapters are all about Jesus speaking to the church about what's going on here on earth. And from chapter 6 on, it talks about the future. But it seems like for a moment in time, all heaven rejoices. And we catch a glimpse of that through what John saw. When the angels, or Jesus said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. He looked up and he was standing before an open door so that we all will see what's happening. I guess I have to ask the question. It takes a break from things on earth and propels us into heaven. Question is, for us, what does our worship look like to God? Oh, we got some pretty outstanding people here this morning who play instruments and help us to worship the Lord. But I wonder what would happen if you come in some Sunday morning and there was nobody there. Could you still worship the Lord without all that? Let me tell you. I spent yesterday afternoon all by myself over in my hunting camp. There's no phone, there's no TV, there's nothing there at all. It's just quiet. And if you ever spent any time alone with God at all, you will begin to understand worship coming from your heart to His. He comes and touches a situation. I don't know how many times it's happened to me where I was worshiping God all by myself, just praying. And sometimes you got to go a while to get the things out of your heart and mind that's got you so tied up all the time. The things of daily living, of what needs to happen tomorrow. When God just says, just worship me today, because tomorrow is in my hands. And all too often we try to make it in our hands and then ask God to bless it and carry on. And even when we show up here on Sunday morning and we hear that beautiful music, are we just here to be entertained? Or are we really worshiping the Lord? I can tell you from coming from that quiet place into this place today, it really enhances my worship this morning. When I hear the singing, when I hear the praying, when I hear the reading of the Word, it's all want to bring glory to the Lord. You know, I can raise my hands and raise my voice to the Lord, but if my heart isn't right, have I really worshiped the Lord this morning? If I leave this place today, no different than when I come in, I believe I really missed something. Really missed worshiping God. All through verse chapter 4, it talks about worshiping God. the one and only true God. Chapter 5 talks about worshiping Jesus as he comes on the scene. And when you read the commentaries and read what the scholars write, there's so much going on here. After a while, I just had to shut that book. It's too much. I'm too overwhelmed by it all to understand it completely. But this much I know. There's a worship going on in heaven like nothing we will ever be able to compare to here. I can't imagine, I can't get it in my mind, thousands and 10,000s, maybe millions of angels singing glory to God all at once. And I don't think they're just mouthing the words. I think it's loud. Doesn't talk about the angels having harps, but it does talk about the elders having harps. And the music must be something. In our Savior's ears, how grateful we should be. Because part of what they're talking about here when they worship Jesus was that he was the lamb that was slain. He had come here. He died for our sin. He rose again. And he went back through that open door to heaven. And now he comes on the scene in heaven. And he begins to understand, as John is weeping, that they can find no one to open the scroll. Jesus is handed the scroll. Partly what commentators were talking about and what's happening with that scroll is that Jesus is able, because he paid the price, he's able to open that scroll, which is actually a deed to this world that he will reclaim completely and wholly someday. And then all heaven breaks out again with rejoicing over our Savior, over the King that was the Lamb that was slain. Golden bowls of incense, which are considered to be prayers of the saints, should move us to pray more than we ever have before. It should invite us to pray because as they're dumped out, they become a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. And I've often thought when I've read this chapter, when the four living creatures begin to worship the Lord and the elders fall down, every time they raise their head back up, because of the prayers that have been answered, that God has seen, worship starts all over again. Because they see what a mighty God we serve. One who loves and cherishes his people. And he wants to hear us. Not only sing to him, but to pray to him. You know, I'm going to step on some tough ground right here, but I don't ever hear any of the participants in worship, whether they're all the angels or the elders or the four living creatures, I didn't hear anybody complaining about how loud the music was or who sang what part or not what part and what song they didn't like or they did like. But I got to tell you, I've stood in the foyer out here and I've heard that. And anybody who participates up here on the stage probably has heard that from someone. Breaks my heart to even bring it up, but I know that it happens. I've heard complaints about the pastor going too long or too short. Although, I've never heard that much. But every time we do that, as we come together as God's people, Jesus hears that. How it must break his heart in the midst of worship to know that someone out there is sitting there with this kind of complaint on their heart. God help us, and God forgive us, because this is a place of worship and of love and expressions of what's going on in heaven. I don't think anybody has to twist any angel's arm to get them to sing or to pray or to worship God. I believe they do it out of a heart of love. And the only way we can get that heart of love, sometime we got to be on our face before the Lord and ask Him to give that to us. And everything else, just let it go. Help us, Lord. Today and every day, to worship You as we ought to. Do I have it all down pat? No. But I'm looking forward to the day. I've always picked on Aaron about doing a duet together. But you know what, Aaron? Someday in heaven, we will. And on earth, just continue to worship the Lord. How much do you love Him? How much has He captured your heart? How much have you let Him have of your heart? What, doesn't take long for some kind of action to happen in these two chapters. And all of a sudden it breaks into loud worship. I've been in places where there's a lot of people singing, and it's overwhelming. But it'll be nothing like it is there. And the goal of our worship, more than anything else, is that we want to be there. You know how much God loves you. You have any idea how much He loves you? Just look at the cross. That's how much He loves you. It should move us to pray. Should move us to reach out to Him. And not all our prayers should be just asking for something. Sometimes we just need to get quiet before the Lord and worship Him. You know, He told the woman at the well that there is coming a day when you will worship in truth. And the truth is, He deserves every ounce of worship we can give Him.